Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat. Good morning to all and welcome to all of you, especially to our visitors. The officers have advised me to use some time in Sunday school to address subjects which are the beliefs that distinguish us from other groups of believers or Christians, and why we are what we are as a Reformed Baptist Church. And in obedience to them, I am going to have this in a few months of study. I'm not going to be comprehensive. Let me make that very clear, because if I were to be comprehensive, it will be a whole course in Grace Ministerial Academy. So it will just be pahapyaw sa bawat isa para alam lang natin ang maisasagot natin. Somebody gave the illustration. You should be able, when you're at the door of your church and then somebody comes and asks you, and there are others waiting to pass by the door, and kasi ganito yung style sa US, UK, where I have been, and the pastor will stand by the door while the attenders are in a long queue, because everyone should shake the hand of the pastor. And it is possible that the one speaking to the pastor may ask a quickest question, and you have to answer, but you are mindful that there are others in the queue, so you need to know how to answer very quickly. Well, it is that sort of answers I have prepared for these distinctives, our distinctives, and we will begin with something that should be the right beginning. When we say that as a church we have distinctives, we mean those are the beliefs that make us what we are as a Reformed Baptist Church. Of course, we are aware that there are other Baptists. We are aware that there are other Christians who are not Baptists, and we need to distinguish ourselves for the sake of our visitors who may be wondering what it is that makes this different, or for the sake of our new members who may also be asking that, and for the sake of all the members who may want a refresher about what it is that we believe and how we are able to defend them. So when we say distinctive, it is a character that sets apart one from its class. Isang halimbawa, when you say the Bible, you say it is a book. So it is in a class, or we call it in formal definition, the genus. You belong to a genus, the Bible belongs to a genus of books. But then to set it apart, it is a book that is regarded by Christians as the written word of God. So you have there the class that it is sharing with others in the class. It is a book, but what sets it apart is, unlike other books, it is for us Christians the record of the Word of God. That is a distinctive. So when we speak of the church distinctives, we mean those beliefs and practices that set a church apart from other kinds of churches. We are not dismissing, we are not in contempt of other churches. We may have some differences, but that does not mean to say that we disregard them as brethren. I personally have close relations with people who I will not agree with on the matter of baptism and other issues of concern, but though they are important to me and important to them, but we will not make them a matter to separate us. But however, there are distinctives. May mga pagkakaiba na dapat na huwag nating isantabi para lang magkaroon tayo ng unity with all. We do not want to talk about distinctives. So those distinctives are defined primarily by the scriptures. We should be able to defend them from the scriptures, but we also corroborate them by our historical lineage. So you can see that there are two sources, but they are not of equal authority. When we talk of the scriptures are our soul, nag-iisa, and ultimate, ang pinakahangganan ng ating autoridad for beliefs and practices. When, in other words, when we say soul, it is something that is like no other. There is no authority that can be on the same level of the Scriptures. And when we say ultimate, once the Scriptures speak clearly, end of argument. That is what it means to have the Scriptures as ultimate. But does that mean to say that we disregard history? Not at all. Because we believe that we exist in a lineage of history. Nasa linya tayo ng kasaysayan. Hindi natin basta maisasawalang bahala ang mga sinabi ng nasa kasaysayan, kung paano sila nag-struggle in order to come up with certain statements of beliefs. So without making it, that is historical lineage, equal to Scriptures, historical affiliation bears on our distinctives. Titimbang sila sa ating mga pinagkakaiba sa mga iglesia. So as far as the distinctives are concerned, what are those distinctives? We put them under 5 categories, and those are the categories, with each category having distinctives that will define them. As our distinctives, those 5 categories are, we are Orthodox. And by Orthodox, we believe in those doctrines on God that were settled by the first 4 centuries against heresies. The first 4 or 5 centuries of the church were the battleground on what the nature of God is. So nagkaroon ito ng iba-ibang direksyon, hanggang sa mga Kristiyano ay nagkaroon ng iba't ibang pagtitipon at gumawa sila ng kanilang pag-aaral mula sa salita ng Diyos upang magkaroon ng pinagkakaisahan na kapahayagan ng paniniwala. So we will look at those Orthodox matters in terms of now, this morning. We are Trinitarian. We believe also next lecture in Christ as God-man. And then the third under this is all Orthodox Christians believe in the risen Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Then the second is that we are evangelical. As evangelicals, we believe in the teachings that constitute the saving gospel. So hindi komot Orthodox ay evangelical. In fact, the Roman Catholic Church is Orthodox, but it is not evangelical. It is not preaching and teaching the saving gospel, and we will look at those truths that constitute the saving gospel. Besides being evangelical, we are reformed. So, umiiba naman, hindi lahat ng evangelicals ay reformed. One can be a very good evangelical, in fact, but not reformed. You can talk, for example, of John MacArthur, who is one of the best evangelical spokesmen in our time, and yet he is not reformed. I'll explain that later. So, in the reformed confession, we hold to the solace of the Reformation, centered on the doctrines of grace, but also in terms of covenant. And then, we are Puritan in terms of life and practice. We practice the Puritan version of the Christian life, and here we will deal with matters like the 10 Commandments, the Sabbath, the Christian life in all of one's calling. Yan ang mga pinagdiitan ng mga Puritans. Hindi ka Kristiyano lamang sa simbahan, kundi kung saan ka tinawag ng Diyos na maglingkod sa Kanya. And then finally, we are Baptist. As Baptists, we hold to Baptist church government and the marks of the local church. So this will be the coverage of our study of our distinctives. And we begin today with our orthodoxy. And as Orthodox, our belief in God is distinct from other beliefs. How many times have you heard it said, there are so many religions, but they all end up in the same God? Not true. The gods that others worship may be worshipped seriously and sincerely, but that does not mean to say that their God is the Christian God. So there is something different and perhaps nothing more that presents that distinction than our being Trinitarian. So by Trinitarian, let me explain first orthodoxy. It pertains to what is straight, the word ortho, also straight, so also doxa, which means in terms of our teaching, we are straightforward as opposed to what is heretical. So it is distinguished from those that are judged heretical. When you say something is heretical, it is wrong on a very foundational matter. Dun sa pinakapayak na mga bagay ay binabaluktot nila. At kaya tinatawag sila ng mga bulaan sa kanilang mga pagtuturo. So when we are being orthodox, tuwid sa mga pagtuturo. At dito tayo mag-uumpisa sa pagiging Trinidad ng Diyos. Now let me explain something that should be a matter of difference when we study the Bible. God is eternally triune. Ibig sabihin, He did not become Trinitarian at a certain point in time. He always has been from eternity triune, but the revelation of His triune being is progressive. Ibig sabihin ay lumalawak, hindi agad-agad, hindi ibinigay ng lump sum. Just like the Bible was given to us with a historical process, and that historical process must be respected. You don't get immediately the clear teachings of the New Testament in the Old Testament. Some people do that, and they think they are being biblical by making the Bible coherent in teaching the same thing. The Bible is teaching the same thing. There is no contradiction in the Bible, but that is not to say there is no progress, which means that there was a time when certain doctrines were not clear until made clearer as revelation progressed. Ganyan ang Trinity. Hindi mo agad matatawag na may Trinity pagbasa mo ng Genesis 1. There are those who will think that way. May nabasa sila na God said, "Let us make man." Oh yeah, Trinity yan. That is too much of what is called anachronism. Yung later pa pinahayag ay ibinabalik muna dun sa maaga pa na too early to know. So, what we can say of the Old Testament is that there are hints of plurality in God. When you read, for example, of the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord is differentiated from the Lord Yahweh, and yet you find the angel of the Lord is worshipped, so you already sense something that needs more explaining. Why is God one? And yet there's the angel of the Lord who is worshipped. At may iba pa, I'm just summarizing. There are hints of plurality in God in the Old Testament. However, the Old Testament revelation of God is not conclusively Trinitarian. Pwede mong sabihin may something plural, pero you don't immediately conclude that it shows a Trinitarian God. That is why Judaism, which is a believer in the Old Testament, is not Trinitarian. Why? Because it does not accept Jesus as the Messiah. Dahil doon, naniniwala sila sa iisang Diyos, pero hindi Trinitarian God. And that's what you get in the Old Testament. And it is in the New Testament that the full revelation of the Trinitarian of God is given. Sa bagong tipan natin matututunan yung kabuuan ng pagtuturo ng pagka-Trinidad ng Diyos. So, why? The one answer is Christ. Christ compels His followers to treat Him as God. You cannot have encounter with Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior without treating Him with a treatment reserved for God. This will therefore redefine Jewish monotheism. Remember, the first Christians were Jewish, steeped in the monotheism of the Old Testament. They were strong believers in only one God. Suddenly, Christ is there to challenge them, and they responded to Jesus, and they cannot respond to Jesus without treating Him as God. Now you have a problem. And the problem is, what do we do with Jesus? To give you an example, after the resurrection in Matthew 28:17, Jesus told them to meet Him in Galilee. And when they did, these are the 11 apostles, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. So, why would you worship someone who you do not believe is God? And that would be to a Jew, idolatry. nothing else. But they worshiped Jesus when they encountered him, and that begins the question of what do we do with the Lord Jesus? So you see here then the problem or the issue. How can true believers exalt Christ without falling into pagan polytheism? So ganun kasimple ang issue. Naniniwala tayo sa isang Diyos. Hindi tayo naniniwala sa maraming Diyos. Pero nakilala natin si Jesucristo at sa lahat ng nakita natin sa Kanya, hindi maaring hindi ka maniwala na siya ay Diyos. Paano mo siya maitataas na Diyos, ngunit napapanatili mo ang paniniwala sa isang Diyos lamang? You see the conundrum, the puzzle, the anomaly of the first believers. So, what were the wrong approaches? Marami, pero papakita ko lang yung dalawa na naging very popular approaches to answer this. How this is their way of exalting Christ without falling into many gods. One is known as Arianism. Arianism dahil galing ito sa pasimuno na si Arius. At si Arius ay magaling na guro, very charismatic, at yung mga turo niya, ginawa pa niyang mga choruses na pinaaawit sa mga kanyang mga grupo, and so madaling na memorize ang kanyang pagtuturo. And what was he teaching? He was teaching basically that Christ is the first creation. But because he is creation, he cannot be on the same level as the Father. So by making Christ the first creation, he is higher than all creation. So they think that satisfies. Remember the issue, how can we exalt Christ? So they think they are exalting Christ by making him the first creation. But because he is creation by the Father, he cannot be on the level of the Father. And so they end up saying, you have a lower God than the Father. Now you see, does that solve the problem? Remember, one issue is do not fall into polytheism. Huwag kang bumagsak sa maraming Diyos. Pag sinabi mong may mas mataas na Diyos, may mas mababang Diyos, eh bagsak ka rin sa polytheism. It does not avoid polytheism, which the Greek mythology was full of. Marami silang Diyos. Maring ituring nilang pinakamataas na Diyos si Zeus, and then may mga mas mababang Diyos. So hindi na iiba na sabihin mong si Kristo ay mataas kaysa sa nilikha, pero dahil siya ang unang nilikha, siya ang mas mataas kaysa sa nilikha. Pero, may mas mataas na Diyos sa Kanya. So, you can say Christ is God, but the Father is the higher God. And you have the counterpart of that today. The Jehovah's Witnesses have the same teaching, exactly. And in fact, they love to quote Arius. So, it does not solve the problem. So, in history, starting with Nicaea, I think next year, the year 2025, will be, let me do the math, more than 2,000 years exact from 325 of Council of Nicaea. Dito, kinundi na ang Arianism, yet it remained very popular. But the church fathers saw the loophole to make Christ lower than God, you end up still with a kind of polytheism. So, Christ as mere creature, and this is what is even more at stake, will not fit him as Lord and Savior of sinners. Eh si Kristo ang pinipresenta ng bagong tipan na Panginoon at tagapagligtas. Paano siya magiging Panginoon at tagapagligtas kung siya'y nilikha lang? Hindi siya maaring tagapagligtas sapagkat ang pagligtas ay gawa ng Diyos. Kaya yan ang problema ng mga naniniwala dito. Even in the New Testament, Jesus had to contend with this belief when he granted forgiveness to the man who was a paralytic in Mark chapter 2, the crowd reacted with a right theology. They said, he is blaspheming. That's the false accusation. But the reason they said that is, who can forgive sins but God alone? And they are right. Only God can forgive sins. Here is Jesus forgiving sins. And we're not talking of sin against Him. We forgive the sin against us. Eh, pero pag kasalanan ng isang kapatid sa isa pang kapatid, hindi ikaw may karapatang magsabi sa kanya, pinapatawad ko na kayo. Even the pastor does not have that right. You forgive only the sin done against you. But here is Jesus telling the sinner, your sins are forgiven, and the crowd reacted, only God can forgive sins. Did Jesus explain na dinelegate lang sa kanya? No, sinabi niya, it is in fact easier to say, be healed, than to say, I forgive. But I have done that which proves what I really am, that is God, who can forgive. But just to show you, He then commanded the paralytic, rise up and walk. So, yung kanyang healing, pwedeng gawin ng tao. Pero yung magpatawad, hindi pwedeng gawin ng tao. So, that is the wrong approach of Arianism. Then there is a second wrong approach, and that is monarchianism, ang technical term. Let me just explain monarchianism. It's not monarchy na may hari. It's the combination of mono, who is one, and arche, source or beginning. So it means that there must only be one beginning, one source of all these titles of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while there are many kinds of monarchianism, that which became most popular was the one pushed by a man we have very little knowledge of, but we know him as Sabellius. And his position was that the various titles are only modes or stages of Christ's revelation, which make it mean that Jesus is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And you have the counterpart of that today in the oneness doctrine of sub-Pentecostals. Even Apollo Kibuloy teaches this doctrine, except that he is the Son. But the idea of this is, there's only one person, and he can sometimes reveal himself as Father, sometimes as Son, sometimes as Holy Spirit. Or otherwise, they say there are stages in the Old Testament and some parts of the New Testament, He is the Father. But since the incarnation of Christ, He is the Son. And since the ascension of Christ and sending of the Holy Spirit, He is now the Holy Spirit. So it's just the same. A very big problem of this position. The three are in real interaction. You see Jesus praying to the Father. Eh, kung siya rin pala yun, ano, kausap niya sarili niya, hindi naman. And then, He said He is sending the Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. And then, the Holy Spirit shed abroad love in all our hearts. There is interaction of the three. And this cannot be the right approach. Christ must be truly exalted as God, but must be distinct from the Father and the Spirit. So, tama na itaas natin siya na Diyos, pero iba sa Ama at sa Banal na Espiritu. So, those are the wrong approaches that became very popular in the first 5 centuries of the Church. All were condemned in the councils that were convened in the first 5 centuries. So, anong tamang sagot? Again, I'm trying to be as simple as possible. The New Testament presentation is, we find Trinitarian invocations, meaning three are invoked as one in equality. So, paano mo ipapaliwanag yun? Because imagine in the Old Testament, Yahweh, and then with Yahweh, you also put beside the name of Yahweh, the name of even a great man like Moses or Abraham or of David, and that would be blasphemy to put any creature beside Yahweh. But when you come to the New Testament, the three are invoked side by side. Just to use one case, the baptismal formula of Matthew 28:19, baptizing them, the disciples, baptizing them in the name singular, and nomos, and honomos. And then, what is the one name? In the Old Testament, it was simple, the name of the Lord, that is the name of Yahweh. But now, in the baptismal invocation or formula, it is now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that is the way it is in Greek. Merong of the, each one as an article which distinguishes that one as a singular person all his own. And yet, they share in the name, singular, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That would have been blasphemous if the Son and the Holy Spirit were anything but God, equal with the Father. So in that baptismal formula, you already have the sense of equality of three. And then in the benedictional formula that we all know of, because I always quote it at the end of my closing prayer, by the grace of the Lord, the actual benediction is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Again, in the Old Testament, it's one singular benediction. May in the name of Yahweh, be blessed. But now you have three invoked. How do you make account for that? And in fact, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, inuna pa yung Jesus, si Christ. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This, again, would have been nothing short of blasphemous were there not equality of the three. Besides the invocations, there are Trinitarian interaction. The three relate to one another above creature level. Tayo man nakikipag-ugnayan sa Diyos. Pero hindi natin matatawag ang ating pakikipag-ugnayan sa Diyos na kapantay ng pag-uugnayan ng tatlong ito sa kanilang pagka-Diyos. In the baptism of Jesus, the three were present. The baptism of Jesus was basically the messianic introduction to the public. Just like our baptism is our introduction to the public that we are Christians, the baptism of Jesus is His introduction to the public that He is the Messiah. But what happened? He was baptized. A voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit anointed him in the form of a dove. So you have the three present in that most significant turning point of Jesus introduced as the fulfillment of all that was prophesied in the Old Testament. You have in this one moment the public introduction of the one who fulfilled. Siyang tutupad ng lahat ng propesiya ng lumang tipan at ang tatlo ay naroon. And consider, there are other things but I'm just summarizing briefly. Divine works are ascribed to the three. By divine works, I mean works that only God can do. And yet, the three are involved. Let's just consider one case, that of salvation. Salvation is, to put it, I hope, concretely but not irreverently, salvation is the project of the three, which extends back to eternity and will have its fulfillment through eternity. 1 Peter 1:2 says, by the foreknowledge of God the Father, that is, God loved us beforehand, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. So you have the three in the work of salvation. Or listen in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God the Father chose you to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit. To this He called you through our gospel so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the three again in salvation. Now I can show you others. Creation, providence, judgment, all three are involved. And all these are divine works. And it's either blasphemous or you have to elevate the Son and the Spirit on the same level as the Father, yet distinguishing them. And what we can conclude from this is that in this interrelation, this interrelation can only be among equals and above creatures. Otherwise, it would be blasphemous if they are not equal. So, that is the New Testament presentation. I'm even giving you the theological reflection on this because that will deepen the discussion. Just the New Testament reflection, paano mo sasagutin ang mga bagay na yan? Well, sagutin natin ang kanilang mga common objections. And probably, I can identify the two most common objections I have encountered. First, it's not a biblical term. You don't find that in the Bible. And so these people who teach a lot of things that are unbiblical are so zealous that whatever you say, it must be found in the Bible. Well, our answer to that is, this is an infantile argument, parang batang paslit na pakikipagtalo. The term Trinity is a verbal handle or shortcut to a cluster of biblical ideas. Instead of me telling you, I believe in one God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These three are equal. These three are distinct. These three are one being. Eh, salit na ulit-ulitin ko yun. Gagawa ako ng term to summarize all that cluster of truths. And I say, that I am Trinitarian. It is like what you do with your computer data. Maring gumawa ka ng iyong thesis. Tapos, papangalanan mo yung file. At ang ipapangalan mo, maaring wala dun sa data mo. Pangalan mo lang, let's say, NAE thesis. And it does not occur in the file. But, it is the handle so that you can open the file. And that's the point of the Trinity. It's not a term that is biblical. It doesn't have to as long as it stands for what is biblical. So what they should refute is what it stands for, not the term. Because we all use in this present time words and language that are not biblical, but we believe in as biblical. So it's not a matter of terminology. And then, another common is mathematically impossible. So, dadaanin ka na naman sa, ang Ama Diyos, ang anak ay Diyos, ang Espiritu ay Diyos. Isang Diyos, Ama. Isang Diyos, Anak. Isang Diyos, Espiritu. Magbilang ka nga. Kung makikipagtalo ka sa mga ito, mapipikon ka kung wala kang self-control. Pero ganyan ang sasabihin sa'yo, mathematically impossible. But just think of this. The people who formulated the Trinity, men like Augustine, Tertullian, Origen, these are geniuses. These are people with profound thought. Can you really believe they missed that? Maniniwala ka bang hindi nila nakita yun? The fact is they struggled with it. They struggled with that very issue. That's why it took centuries to make the formulation is because they struggled with this mathematical issue. So consider that these geniuses They did not fail to see the mathematical anomaly. But what drove them to it in anyway? This is a case of exegesis above logic. In other words, when they look at the scriptures, they see there the Father as God. And they see there the Son also as God. And we will prove more of that next week. And they also see there the Holy Spirit, being a person, can be no less than God. And yet, they are distinct from each other. The Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And then, they are equal, and yet, they are one God. So, with those facts and data of the scriptures, and you have this logic of mathematics, what will you choose? These people chose scriptures instead of their own logic. So when one theologian was challenged that, how can you make sense of that in mathematics? Well, he answered, I don't know heaven's mathematics. We simply are short of logic. This is not illogical. This is super logical. That is above our logic. That we cannot reach. This is Psalm 131 verse 1. Your thoughts are so lofty, I cannot attain to it. That's the humility that is demanded of us. So by way of caution, when we explain the Trinity, there is no complete creature analogy of the Trinity. Dito bumabagsak ang marami. Sasabihin nila, ang Trinity parang tubig, merong solid, ice, merong liquid, water, merong gaseous steam. So, and without realizing it, they became monarchians. O yung iba naman ay yung Canadian leaf, yung kanilang Canadian leaf na may tatlong dahon pero isa lang siya. At napakarami pang ginagamit nila. The Trinity is unique. There is nothing like it in creation because He is uncreated. Only God is three that is one and yet distinct. And that is what makes it so unfathomable and absorbing. So the Trinity is a doctrine that challenges us to put the scripture above a reason. Kaya ito yung isang panghamon dun nga sa nagsasabing sila yung Biblia ang pinanghahawakan. Itong hamon, ang turo ng Biblia ay naroon ang pagkatrinidad ng Diyos, pero ang lalaban sa iyo, ang resistance ay manggagaling sa iyong lohika, hindi pwedeng tatlo at isa. Eh, pinakita ng bagong tipan, pwede. So, anong paniniwalaan mo? So, we come to this point where we have to accept this is a matter of gift revelation. That is, pinagkaloob ng Diyos na ipakilala ang kanyang sarili sa kanyang pagkatrinidad. Huwag nating angkinin na narating natin dahil sa ating lohika, kundi ibinigay sa atin para makilala natin siya. We will never know Him as Trinitarian, but for His gift of revelation. So let us be thankful in the language of Jesus. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So, walang makakakilala sa Diyos kundi ang anak, walang makakakilala sa anak kundi ang ama, at kung sino man, magpakilala sila ng bilang kaloob. That means, if you get to know the Trinity and get to know the true God as Trinity, it is a matter for thankfulness. Be thankful for the unfathomable mystery revealed through Christ. May I just say a brief personal testimony? I grew up, when I was in my teens, I got to belong to a cult run by my family with my uncle as the pastor. And their belief is the monarchian belief, the oneness belief. Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the time I was 16 years old, they made me a preacher. And I can tell you the many times I preached against the Trinity, mocked it, and spoke in contempt of it. The last person you would ever imagine will believe in the Trinity, that was me in my teens. But by the grace of God, little by little, as I studied the scriptures, I could not avoid that conclusion that you cannot have Father and Son, the same Jesus, when Jesus is praying to the Father and the Father is giving the Son and all these other things. And so I repented from that as an act of contrition. My first writing project was a small pamphlet, Trinity, Take a Second Look. Because that's what I did. I took a second look, and there it is in the scriptures. So I am thankful more than anyone you could imagine that I got to learn of the Trinity, and it is unfathomable until gifted to you by God.